Difficult topics of life and worship, and will give a Bible answer for every question. We encourage you to tune in and call in every Monday night from 6 to 7. The number is 855-QA-BIBLE. Again, that's 1-855-QA-BIBLE. Or email your questions and comments to questions@harrisonmoore.org. Our motto is, you've heard what men have to say, now listen to what the Bible has to say. Now join our hosts, David Harris and Tom Moore.
Welcome to the Harrison Moore Expedition through the Bible. My name is Tom Moore, the gospel preacher for the Park Heights Church of Christ in Hamilton, Texas. And with me tonight, my good friend and partner on this program, David Harris, who preaches for the Hillcrest Church of Christ in Stephenville. And running our boards tonight, Frank Briscoe, who's preaching for the Santo Church of Christ, who runs our board and runs our phone lines. You know, since September the 11th, 2001, the United States has become very aware of the Muslim population. The religion of Islam has made headlines and prompted many debates among many people. On September 11, 2001, 3,000 people died, a day that horror struck the nation. Did you know that in the last 50 years, Islam has grown by 500%? 1.5 billion Muslims, according to the latest census, are in our world. And since 2011, there has been 1.5 million Muslims that have entered the United States of America. You know, one of the things that we need to remember about Islam is that Islam is a religion that is anti-Christian. In 1 John chapter 4, verses 2 and 3, it says, "By this ye know the Spirit of God, but every spirit that confesses that Jesus has come in the flesh is of God, and every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God, and this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world." My friends, Islam is Antichrist, and anyone who is a part of the Islamic faith is an Antichrist. You know, as we look at this idea, the teachings of Islam are very contradictory, very contrary to the Bible, and as a matter of fact, is blasphemous toward Jesus. Islam's desire is to take over the world, and as a result of that, the religion of Islam should cause great fear in us because it is a religion of war. But as we're going to be talking a lot more about that tonight. But before we get into that, we're going to let David tell you a little bit about where we're airing tonight.
We are broadcasting from Studio 4 at the Hillcrest Church of Christ building right here in Stephenville, Texas. And also on KATX 97.7 FM out of Eastland. KNNK 100.5 FM out of Hereford Canyon and Amarillo, Texas. KWBY 98.5 FM out of Stephenville. KDAV AM 1590 out of Lubbock, Texas. And KVOP AM 1090 out of Plainview. And just recently, our new radio station in Glen Rose, Texas, KOME 95.3 FM. You can also pick us up on the gospelradionetwork.org, and this program will be rebroadcast at 6 a.m. on Tuesday at this website, thegospelradionetwork.org. Our motto has always been on this program, you have heard what men have said, now let's hear what the Bible has to say. This is our motto because we want the public to know what the Bible has to say. We hear an awful lot of what men have to say, but we want to hear what the Bible has to say. This is a live call-in program. We are going to give you a free, toll-free number here, and we would encourage you with your questions or your comments to give us a call right here. It is 1-855, and then spell it out, Q-A-Bible. 1-855-Q-A-Bible. Q for questions, A for answers, B-I-B-L-E, and it's a toll-free number. If you like, you can email us at, email your question there at questions@harrisonmore.org, and that will go to my personal email box and also to Tom's email box. If you can, you can get on the gospelradionetwork.org or go to harrisonmore.org. It'll be the same webpage. And there you can listen to us on the internet, and you will have the advantage of a chat room that you can type in your questions or your comments there, and we will try to get through those as we go through the radio program tonight. Also, if you've got a smartphone, you can go to that smartphone and Google harrisonmore.org. And it will come up, and you will just touch the little microphone there, and it will put you right on the program, and you can listen from your iPhone. You can also sign up for the podcast of the program at harrisonmore.org at the RSS feed at the bottom right-hand corner of the webpage. Go to www.harrisonmore.org. Did I get it all that time?
That sounds pretty good.
Okay.
You know, when we think about this idea of the religion of Islam causing fear, you know, last week, David, we had someone who called in and said that we were preaching fear. Well, David, when we look at what's been happening, and, you know, it's not just happened since 9/11. We were doing some research. This terror in the United States has been going on long before 9/11. Time after time, the Islamic people have been bringing, terrorizing the United States of America. But 9/11 and a catastrophe there is what really brought things to light. But even since then, there's been terror attack after terror attack, hadn't there?
Well, yes, and not only, and last week I thought was a good program because of the number of call-ins that we had. We had one caller call in and say that we were preaching hate, and another one call in say we're preaching fear. In both instances, I would like to reiterate the fact that we were preaching and giving a bunch of facts coming right straight out of the Quran. These facts should create fear in each and every one of us. It's not hate. I think George W. Bush probably misrepresented the Islamic religion worse than any other president that we've ever had, because he continued to say after 9/11 that Islam was a religion of peace. Islam was a religion of peace. And what is that old saying that Adolf Hitler used to have? If you repeat a lie often enough, how does it go there,
Tom? People will believe it to be the truth.
Absolutely.
Now, you know, I don't know, you know, what he said was false. I think a lot of people, though, are saying these statements thinking they are true. I don't think they're intending to deceive, but a lot of time they just do not have all the facts. When you read the Quran, and we're going to be pointing out some of those passages tonight, it is not a religion of peace.
It's not even a religion of truth.
No.
And that therein lies the problem. You know, it's certainly not a religion of peace. If you look at what the Quran has to say, it is not, no one can truthfully say that that is a religion of peace. It is a religion of fear. It is a religion of force. It is a religion of violence. And all in the world we're trying to point out here is what Islam is. Now, the Muslims are the followers of Islam. And we're going to get into the percentages of countries that are Muslim, that are Islamic in nature. In other words, they have Islam as the religion, and that makes them Muslims. But they can be from any old country out there.
Yeah, Frank brought to our attention that a lot of times people are calling radio programs like this racist. Well, in reality, Muslim is not a
race.
A race. Muslim is what you call followers of a certain religion, and that is Islam. And so, if you are a follower of Islam, then you are a Muslim, and it is not racism. It is not racial to be mentioning the Muslims. What we're talking about are followers of a religious movement which has been going on for thousands of years, and that is Islam. And the reason that we're even talking about this tonight and last week is because of some of the current events that are taking place, David. Mm-hmm. We remember just a few weeks ago the San Bernardino killings there,
right,
which have been proven to be Islamic. People, Muslims, who were trying to kill and did kill the United Americans. And then the thing that really troubles me the most, David, here in recent days is all of the Syrian refugees that are coming in. You know, about 3 weeks ago, we talked about the Syrian refugees and what a Christian's response should be. But when we talk about coming out of a Muslim nation, we have when we think about the idea of what they stand for, does that not cause us to be to have some alertness to, or to some fear of, all of these people coming in? Because the Syrian Muslims, whether or not they're fleeing for religious purposes or not, they do not like the United States of America.
No, they don't.
And we're bringing in a bunch of people who don't like us.
And the all of the inhabitants, all of the population of Syria, they're estimated to be 90% Muslim. 90%. Now, this should cause fear. I mean, the best I can understand from what I read this morning is that through this latest budget that was financed through our Congress, through our representatives, we have approved the bringing in of 300,000 Syrian refugees in the year 2016. Now, if 90% of the Syrian refugees are Muslim, And those Muslims are sympathetic to the cause of ISIS to the point that they will applaud when some terrorist act takes place. This should give us cause for fear. Now, just to show you that this is a religion of fear. Now, because of the San Bernardino bombings that you talked about just a moment ago, we had a terroristic threat. A couple of weeks ago, and I don't think it's been 2 weeks ago yet, it shut down 1,000 school systems in Los Angeles because of fear.
That's right.
Nothing but fear.
And now every time something happens in the world today, in the United States, automatically people are assuming terrorists. The reason they're assuming that is because they're afraid.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so even though ISIS and Islam has not responsible for every single event in the United States, what events they are involved in has began to spread that fear for everything, you know, and so we're afraid. So the caller says you're preaching fear. Yes, we are, because there is something that we ought to be afraid of. And we think about, David, these Syrian refugees coming in. Again, we mentioned a moment ago that the people from Syria do not like the United States of America. We're bringing those people in. And even if only 1% of these Syrian refugees are members of ISIS, that still brings a great number of the ISIS people into the United States. You know, we might be talking over 1,000 people coming in to the United States of America. We have a welcome to the Harrison Moore Expedition to the Bible. Give us your first name and your question or comment, please.
This is Tim.
Tim, yes, Tim. What's on your mind?
In this last Sunday's Brownwood Bulletin, Byron York had a big article in it about just Muslims in general in the United States. And he said they make up, and this is, he got his numbers from the Pew Research Center, okay?
Mm-hmm.
He said that 0.9% of the U.S. population is Muslim, which is 2.75 million people. And then just then on over in it, he talks about they did a survey of them, and they asked them the questions whether they thought that suicide bombings and other forms of violence against civilians in the name of Islam is rarely or ever justified. And in the United States, they found that 7% say it is sometimes justified, and 1% say it is often justified, and 6% didn't know. So you just add them numbers up, you know, and you've got over 10% of 2.75 million people thinking that violence against civilians is okay.
What is that, 275,000? Is that what 10%
of that? 275,000, exactly.
That's an awful lot of people, Tim. I think, you know, a lot of people don't realize what we're dealing with here. It's not just a bunch of heathens running around there with a bunch of scarves on top of their head. These are intelligent human beings that are sending people over here under the cover of a refugee to infiltrate and to create fear and harm on this United States of America. And a lot of people don't realize this. They think one religion just as good as another, and we have no right to tell somebody that they can't come in here based upon their religion, because that's not what this country was founded on. That is un-American, according to our President Obama and also Paul Ryan, the Speaker of the House. But if it were not vetted by the religion, we couldn't tell at all who was a refugee and trying to seek asylum because of political asylum because of religious persecution, and those that were trying to come over here under the guise of political refugee and trying to seek economic prosperity under our laws and under our nation. Do you agree?
Right, absolutely. They're representing a serious problem, and it's going to get worse and worse. Just to give you another number here, in 2012, which was the last time they had on here how many Muslims they allowed into the country, in regular immigration, they allowed approximately 100,000 immigrants in that year, Muslim immigrants.
In 2012?
In 2012, and that's up double from in the 90s. Of how many they let in per year. So it's jumping exponentially, you know, on the number of people, Muslim immigrants, they're letting in. That, so you figure they let 100,000 in a year, 10% of them, that's 10,000. See, bombing civilians and using violence against them is okay.
You know, what scares
so any
me about
our politicians or anybody voting for them just cannot. I don't know why they think when the man stands up and says we need to stop that immigration and get a handle on it, it's crazy.
Well, I agree with you.
And one of the things that really scares me about all this, Tim, is that these Muslim immigrants who are coming in from other nations are coming from nations that hate the United States of America. And so it's important. I mean, that's something to be really concerned about, isn't it, Tim? Are you still there with us, Tim?
Tim?
I guess we lost him. But, you know, Tim makes some pretty good points here, David. You know, in 2012, 100,000 immigrants came in, Muslim immigrants, from nations that do not like the United States of America. Can you imagine bringing in all those people who don't like us?
Well, they're all in opposition to the Western culture. They've got a culture over there. We've got a culture over here. And as we mentioned the last time when we were talking about what should a Christian's response be to these Syrian refugees, help them over there where their culture is, where their customs are, and that way they won't be offended over here by those of us who don't agree with the way that they dress and the way that they act and what they have for supper. You know, we won't offend one another. We can help you over there. You don't have to come into my house.
You know, one of the things, David, that I really have a problem with is that we are borrowing money to help other people outside our nation. You know, we have enough people right here in the United States of America that needs our help without bringing in people who do not like us, as a matter of fact, who hate us, and borrowing money to bring them in. And not only that, David, we're borrowing or bringing in some difficult scenarios for our nation. You know, you think about if only 1% of these people were Islamic terrorists, were of ISIS. You know, we're still talking about over 1,000 people, especially when we think about, you know, it only took, what, 13 or 19 people involved in the 9/11 massacre.
Yes.
It only took two in San Bernardino. It took two in the Boston massacre. It took one in the Fort Hood shootings. You know, that just tells you if you have 1,000 people in here with that mentality, what evils could happen?
Well, let me make this point too. All of those people that you mentioned there, they were all vetted.
Yes.
Every one of them were vetted, and they passed our little vetting system fairly easily. But you know, I think that all of this is going to be fruitless unless we compare this to Christianity. Mm-hmm. Now, the point being here is that Muslims and Christians, they don't believe alike. They are going to have a very, very difficult time getting along alike because one does not believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and the other one does.
Exactly. Welcome to the Harrison Moore Expedition to the Bible. Give us your first name and your question or comment, please.
This is George.
George.
Good evening, guys, and Merry Christmas to you guys.
Same to you, George. Good to hear from you again. What's on your mind?
Oh, just, you know, repeat of last week when we were talking about how many people in the U.S. do need help. Our veterans who fought for our freedom in Afghanistan, including myself, there's a lot of us that are, I'm not one of them, but, and I'm blessed for that, but there's a lot of veterans who are homeless that need help, and Obama's trying to bring those Syrians over, and I just don't understand it. It's chaos. He's just, you know, and he's been called Satan. He's been called a non-leader. He's been, I don't see him as a leader personally as a former military, but why are we spending money to help people that don't even like us?
Yeah.
To bring them here when we can help those that have served our country and fought for our freedom and help them out first. Mm-hmm. You know, it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, you know, my wife works for the VA, and she sees lots of people who are in need of help. We are neglecting them in many ways, and yet we're bringing in these very people, as you mentioned, who do not like us. And then having to borrow money to do it, and then we're bringing in people who are a threat to our safety. You know,
right.
That just doesn't make good nonsense.
Well, you know, not only that, George, and I think this is one of the great points that a lot of people are missing here. When we get enough Muslims over here in this United States of America, we're going to have a very, very difficult time worshiping God through Jesus Christ as Christians here in the United States of America, because we're going to lose that freedom, and it won't take long.
Well, isn't it our didn't we already lose that? We can't even say Merry Christmas. We can't pray in our schools. It's already there.
Well, it started many years ago with those who didn't believe in Christ, who were antichrist themselves. But now we didn't just focus on a group of atheists here and say, okay, we're going to bring over 300,000 atheists in the year 2016. No, we're going to bring over 300,000 Muslims over here who believe the same thing that atheists do as far as Jesus Christ goes.
And the only difference is these people want to kill you.
Yeah, but I mean, it's already happening in our schools. They took God out of our schools. They took God out of our country, which our laws and were based on verses from the Bible. Our forefathers used Scripture to write our Constitution.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. And that Constitution is a godly document.
Yes, it is. And I can't even pray over my food in public. Now I can't say Merry Christmas or God bless you because I'm going to offend somebody. You know what? Why don't you go serve in Afghanistan and serve with our troops, and then you come back and tell me how easy it is to thank God for coming back.
You know that? Yeah. You know, that offending is pretty much one-sided, though, right? It's all right for them to offend us, but we can't offend them.
Yeah, we can't. You can't even say anything negative. You can't even say nothing politically incorrect, because people get offended so easily. You know what? I can't say this on the radio, but I'll tell you this: if and when we get a president who's got the cojones, like President Bush did when he told everybody that if we don't get out of these countries and get our troops out there, and we continue to help them, it's going to get bad, and it is, and he was right.
Exactly.
I mean, President Bush might not be the brightest bulb on the shelf, but he knew exactly what was going on.
Yeah. You know, I think we do have some candidates out there in the Republican field that could help us in this area, and we do need to be, by the way, start praying that we get Obama out and Hillary does not get in, and we get some of these.
Oh, my goodness. That's another story.
Well, I promise you, in the future, we're going to be talking about this as the election gets closer from a biblical perspective.
Let me interrupt you right quick.
Go for it.
I hope and pray that after Obama comes out of office, I hope and pray that there's some type of law or some type of what's the word I'm looking for, where any presidential candidate has to have at least 4 years of military experience to understand why our country is the way it is when we come with troops and allies and enemies. Because Obama has no military experience. He doesn't even salute people as he's walking into the building or off the chopper or onto his chopper. Mm-hmm. He doesn't salute any of the military personnel. He doesn't acknowledge them. He doesn't acknowledge officers that have been gunned down like they were in Tennessee. He just doesn't know and understand what it is to be military.
You know, if I'm not mistaken, isn't Obama and Clinton the only two presidents that did not have some kind of military background?
Sure, yes, sir.
Well, but we're going to have to be careful here, because I'm not sure that there's any candidate running for office in the next year that would qualify under those credentials.
Exactly right there.
True.
But it
true,
does give you a little idea of what our presidents in the past have understood in regard to the
absolutely
importance of military.
Yeah.
Now, with that being said, Dr. Ben Carson is a very intelligent man, and he gets it. I have to say. And I'm not going to say that I'm Republican or Democrat. I'm a liberal right now at this point. I have been since Obama came into office. But if I had to vote right now and he was on that ballot, I would vote for Dr. Ben Carson.
Yeah. Well, I tell you what, we're going to talk about that kind of thing a little bit later on down the road, George.
And what we want to do is we want to introduce more information, and because knowledge is powerful. And we're going to introduce more information about the Quran, and we're going to compare that to Jesus the Christ and Christianity. We want people out there to see the difference between the two.
Thanks for calling in, George. You know, so we've got, you know, our time's already almost half up, David.
Right.
But that's okay. We've had some good callers.
Absolutely.
We really appreciate Tim and George calling in. But, David, to really understand the difference between Islam and Christianity, we don't have to go any further than comparing Christ and Muhammad, do we?
No, that's all you have to do. And these people that are Muslims, they're followers of Muhammad's writing. They claim Allah is the same God that we have, but their Allah is not the father of our son, of his son, and our Savior, Jesus the Christ, the author of eternal salvation, Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 8. Now, here's the kicker here, Tom. If Jesus Christ is the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him, Hebrews chapter 5, verses 8 and 9, then how in the world can a Muslim be saved?
He can't be.
Exactly.
You know, we think about this idea, when you compare Jesus and Muhammad, Jesus preached peace, didn't he?
Absolutely.
As a matter of fact, when you look in your Bibles in Matthew chapter 5, in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 43, it says, "You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. Pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you." You know, David, that is a far cry from what Islam teaches in regard to what they are to do to their enemies, or to do that to those who have a different view of religion than they do.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, Muhammad, while he was speaking of his enemies of Islam, says, and this will be found in the Quran, it says, "Seize them and kill them wheresoever you find them." That's Surah 490. "Destroy them," Surah 7:3. "Slay them," Surah 8:16. Now, friends, these systems are not the same. The nature of the kingdom of Christ was prophesied in the Old Testament, and it was prophesied as a religion of peace. In Isaiah chapter 2, in verse number 4, we have a very interesting passage of scripture here that Isaiah gives us through God. It says this, "And he shall judge among the nations, and he shall rebuke many people, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks, and nations shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore." Now that is the difference between the two here.
Mm-hmm.
And it's absolutely amazing that one would say that Allah is the same God for the Islamic religion as he is for the Christian religion.
Exactly. Now, the number to call tonight, if you'd like to get in on the discussion with a question or a comment, the number to call is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. That's 1-855-QA-BIBLE. We've already had a couple of good callers this evening. We'd love to have several more. But then when we think about this idea, and by the way, we also have some lots of names popping up in the chat room, and you can get involved in the chat room as well by going to the gospelradionetwork.org and get involved there. You know, the word of Christ, David, does not advocate war. It does not advocate the abuse of men. But that's what Islam does. And we're going to see that even more as we get into our discussion tonight. Now, welcome to the Harrison Moore Expedition to the Bible. Give us your first name and your question or comment, please.
My name is Mike.
Mike, okay, Mike. What's on your mind?
Just find the discussion interesting, and I just want to bring up an opinion that I think, you know, to get some additional credibility, that it'd be good to have somebody there who knew a little bit more on Islam than they do.
Okay, what's on? Okay, give us something.
Well, for example, one of the gentlemen mentioned that that Muslims have the same opinion of Jesus as atheists do, and that's obviously not true.
Well, atheists don't believe that he's the Son of God, and in that sense, they have the same opinion of Jesus that atheists do. Now, the Islamists, Muslims, do believe that he was a prophet because that's what Muhammad said he was. But he's not deity, and therein lies the difference. Atheists do not believe he's deity. Muslims do not believe he's deity, and that puts him in the same ballpark.
Okay, well, we can agree to disagree, right?
Okay. So what else you got there for us?
Well, that's basically it. I mean, I just want to mention that it'd be good to have somebody there that's you know, that could be discussing the Muslim religion a little bit more than just cherry picking the specific verses that they're pulling out.
Well, the cherry pick. We're obviously not going to read the Quran,
the whole Quran, on the TV
on this 1 hour program that we have, and all that we can be able to do there is pull out a few verses that show that this is not a religion of peace, but it is a religion of violence. And that's what we're trying to do here. We're trying to show the difference between the peaceful religion of Christianity and the violent religion of the Muslim, which is Islam. And I'm sorry?
The reality is that both religions are very similar, and they both are religions of peace.
How would you categorize the Muslim religion as a religion of peace?
The Muslim religion believes that that everyone is entitled to live freely and happily, and
Mike, that's just not true. That is just not true.
You know, and
it absolutely is, and I think if you guys wanted to gain some and rather than pushing your political beliefs, if you wanted to gain some credibility, you would have someone on there that knows the Quran and who could speak openly and specifically about the particular verses that you're pulling out of the Quran.
Well, you know, we don't, you know, we appreciate you calling in here, Mike, and we want you to notice here what we're reading is just simply verses out of the Quran. We're not giving interpretation. We're just reading what the verse says. And in a moment, and David, you know, we really might ought to go ahead and jump ahead right now for a moment and look at some of the 13 radical doctrines of Islam and ISIS that come from the Quran. Now, our friend Mike calls in and says that Islam is a religion of peace.
Well, before we go through this, Mike, we appreciate you calling in, and we do appreciate your opinion as well.
Caller, welcome to the Harrison Moore Expedition of the Bible. This is give us your first name and your question or your comment, please.
This is Jace.
What is your name?
Jace. Just like the guy off Doug Dynasty.
Okay. All right, what's on your mind, Jace?
Well, I'm beginning to wonder. Mike is arguing with you guys. I'm wondering if Mike is more leaning towards being Muslim himself.
Well, if he was, he did not tell us that he was, but he sure was at least passionate toward that area, it seemed to me like.
Exactly, because if you know, you kind of listen to his accent and his speech there, I was under the assumption that Mike was Muslim. The way he was, you know, saying that Muslim and Christianity are close to the same, and that is no way possible.
Well, in Mike's defense, he might have just been taken up for the underdog, or what he considered to be the underdog here. And on this program, I would assume that the Muslim religion is the underdog religion. Well, you know, there is no greater religion on the face of this earth than Christianity. And when you compare Christianity with any other religion on the face of the earth, you're going to find them come up way, way short, and they will always be the underdog. It could be that he was just trying to take up for them in that particular fashion, Jake.
Or Jace, yeah.
Well, I am half German, and I am half Native American.
Mm-hmm.
And so I know all about, you know, your heritage being the underdog and new religions coming in and, you know, trying to forcefully take over your country. So I think what the Muslims are doing is since the United States is already a mixed race, mixed culture and everything, they're going to try to divide us against ourselves. They're going to make us scared of each other. You're going to be scared of your neighbor because you don't know if he's Christian or Muslim. And it's going to turn our country against each other.
Well, and you've got a good point there. You've got a very, very good point there. We've already got the media and our politicians on the side of the Islamic religion and the Muslims that are coming in here. You will not find very many media references to the danger of letting that many Muslims come in here and just absolutely crucifying one of our political candidates for saying that we need to stop the flow of Muslims coming into this country until we can get a handle on it.
You know, one of the things that really irritates me, David and Jace, is that it seems like the Muslim religion has more freedom these days than Christianity. What do you think
exactly
about that?
And what we really need to do is we need to shut our doors, we need to put our foot down, and we need to become America again. We don't need to press one for English. You know, I used to pledge allegiance to the flag growing up every day.
Amen.
And at lunchtime, you know, you grab your neighbor's hand and you bow your head, and you're thankful again for the breath that you're granted, and that you're still 6 feet above ground. And we need to be America again, because that's why we, you know, everybody says we're the greatest country on earth. Well, we, you know, it's because we had that mentality. We were the greatest because we didn't let other influences in. Mm-hmm. We were America because we stood our ground, we helped need. And now that everybody gets offended so easy, and a man that hasn't even been a woman a full year wins Woman of the Year, it's like,
yeah, we're going down.
We're not America no more. Yeah, we're not America no more.
You know, and along that same line, let me just mention one thing to you. You know, Jesus Christ was probably the most politically incorrect individual that we will ever know in our lifetime. As a matter of fact, he was crucified for it, but he did what was right. He told the truth, and that's what Christianity is all about.
Exactly. It is.
Well, great call, Jay.
We forgive those who have done harm to us, but you know, we don't let them keep doing harm to us. Yes, we forgive you for harming us, and we will help you to better yourself. And here we are, you know, that offends me. Don't do that. It's like everybody, I hate to say it, but it's like people are losing.
You know, Jace, there's hardly anything that anybody can say, either politically or religiously, that somebody is not going to be offended by. It just cannot happen. Well, we appreciate you calling in, Jace. We are running out of time. Great call. We look forward to you calling in again sometime. You know, David, when we think about this idea of Islam, and, you know, we're running quickly out of time, and I want to get back to what Mike had to say a moment ago and how that he contends that Islam is a religion of peace. But when you look at the Quran, is like the Bible of the Muslim religion, right?
Right. And there are faithful Muslims and there are unfaithful Muslims. Some of these Muslims don't believe this. And as a result of their non-belief, they are truly unfaithful Muslims. And by the way, the faithful Muslims are instructed to kill all of the unfaithful Muslims, as it turns out, if they're not fully on board with the faithful bunch, then they get killed just like the infidels do.
Welcome to the Harrison Moore Expedition to the Bible. Give us your first name and your question or comment, please.
My name is Dave, and it's a comment. You know, I enjoy the show. I know that this is a very controversial topic in today's society, but it boils down to what's true, what's correct, what's true. Is it the Bible or is it the Quran?
Mm-hmm.
They both contradict each other in so many places, and y'all have been really good in bringing out that the Quran keep saying that Jesus was only a prophet, but the big contradiction there is God said that, you know, his name would be Emmanuel, God with us. John 1 speaks of his deity as the creator of everything. He's more than a prophet. If the Quran is correct, then Jesus is nothing but a liar.
Yeah, that's exactly
and
right.
These people are missing this whole point, or they're not able to see it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and that's a great point, Dave. And you know what? We keep trying to get back to this point, and it's I love the callers coming in because it makes this show so much better. This is your program. We're just the moderators of the program. We just keep throwing out information until somebody calls us, and when somebody calls us, we make it a part of the program, and we love it that way. But you are so absolutely right. One is true, one is false. Now, which one is it? Now, Allah says that everybody who is not a Muslim is false, and they're a bunch of liars, and they need to be killed. Christianity, on the other hand, God's word is truth. Sanctify them in thy truth. John chapter 17, verse 17, the words that Jesus uttered when he was praying to God the Father. The word of God is the truth. And when you boil everything down, the politicians, what they have to say, our representatives, what they have to say, you boil it all down, truth can only be traced back to God's word. Period. That's the only place it can be traced back.
That's the only comment I had. I mean, y'all do such a great job.
Well, thank you, Dave. We certainly appreciate your call, and keep listening and call in frequently.
You know, again, we want to thank our callers. We've had some good calls tonight, and David, you know, really, the whole point revolves around: is the Bible true, or is the Quran true?
Mm-hmm.
Dave made a good point that Muslims say that Jesus is not deity. He is not Emmanuel, God in the flesh. Well, that automatically makes either the Quran right or the Bible wrong, or the Bible right and the Quran wrong. You can't have both of them, can you?
No, you cannot.
And so we may have some other lessons. You know, we've done some things in the past. We've got a bunch of new listeners, and we may have to work over some things we've done in the past about proving the Bible's inspiration and things of that nature. But tonight, we're talking about the Muslim religion, and we were trying to get to what Mike was bringing out in that he says that Islam was a religion of peace, and that we were just cherry-picking. Well, when you have a verse that directly address a subject, then you kind of know where the people are coming from.
Mm-hmm.
We've got something here called the 13 Doctrines of Radical Islam and ISIS. Number one,
Well, wait a minute before you go on. I want to take offense to the word radical.
Okay.
And I want to put in there faithful.
Mm-hmm.
It's either faithful or it's unfaithful.
So you're either following what the Quran says or you're not.
You're either a disciple of Muhammad or you're not.
You know, I guess there are some people who are, and you know, and Mike might fall into this category that called in earlier. If he is, I'm not saying that he is, but if he were a Muslim, he may not believe like some of what he would call radical Muslims are, mm-hmm. Because he doesn't think that it ought to be a religion of war, but should be a religion of peace. But if a person of that persuasion is going to stick to what the Quran says.
Well, you see, I think this is where the confusion in the American people exists today, is the news media will say, well, these are a bunch of radical Muslims over here, and these are a bunch of moderate Muslims over here, and the moderates won't hurt you, the radicals will kill you. It's faithful and unfaithful. These people over here, they're calling moderates, they don't believe everything they read.
Exactly. They're saying, well, that's not what it really means. Well, you know, people do that same thing about the Bible, don't
Absolutely.
They? You know, they say, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. So we say, well, baptism is essential to salvation. Well, then somebody might say, well, that's not what it means.
I don't believe that.
Yeah, you know, so that's the way some Muslims also treat, evidently, the Quran when it talks about how they are to treat the infidel or mm-hmm. the unbeliever. You know, when you look at some of the things, for example, in the Quran in chapter 65 and verse 4, it says, you can rape, marry, and divorce prepubescent girls. I mean, that. How do you explain away that? I mean, that's something that's just very disgusting and immoral, and yet it says it in very explicit language in the Quran.
Well, and this shows you the difference between the morality of Christ and the morality of Muhammad, and when we compare the two, there is really no comparison. But we see the radical difference between the two. Caller, give us your first name and your comment or your question, please.
Hey, David, this is Tim again. I was on the cell phone. It dropped off earlier.
Okay, I'm sorry. We missed you. Okay, go, Tim.
But anyway, I just on the one guy, Dave, I believe, that's kind of defending the Islam.
That's Mike.
That was Mike.
I'm sorry, Mike. You know, the religion of Islam, I don't know what it is, and it may be peaceful, but it isn't the religion itself that does anything. It's the people that follow it or that think they follow it, either way. And you talk about radical or faithful. I'd call them faithful. But the Muslims and the people are the one that radicalize it and make it into what it is. It doesn't matter what the book says. You know how people are. They're going to turn it into whatever they want it to be. And people have done that with the Bible for you know, hundreds of years, thousands of years, I guess. So that's where he don't realize we're talking about the people. We're not talking about the religion exactly. And I know y'all are quoting the Quran and things out of their religion that sure may turn them to violence. But, you know, Christians were violent back in the Dark Ages. I mean, and before that, we know Christians have done terrible things in the name of Christianity, okay?
Yeah. So-called Christians.
Okay, but the difference, Tim, is they were not guided by the Word of God. They may have said they were doing this in the name of Christianity, but they were not doing it by the Word of God, because the Word of God never instructed anybody to go out and kill and maim and rape.
You know, and a lot back in those days also, Tim, a lot of it was the fighting between Christian and Muslims. A lot of that in that Dark Age time.
Absolutely. No, I agree totally with what you both just said. That the Christianity and the gospel is never meant to be violent. Christ was never violent in anything he ever did, and didn't teach us to be that way.
On the other hand, Muhammad has always instructed his people to resort to violence to get whatever it was that he wanted.
Well, you think about them people that are coming, the immigrants back to them a little bit. And but just the people that live over there in them countries, they've been warring since time begun. You know, they've fought over rugs and everything else, I'm sure. And they've never had a peaceful society over there at all. They've, you know, and they're still following that because they haven't found the religion of peace, which is Christianity.
Well, I tell you this, every single country that is predominantly Muslim is at war with itself today and has been ever since that they were predominantly Muslim. They have never stopped fighting one another. There is no peace in the Muslim religion.
That's absolutely correct. And you just look at the history there of the religion and the people that claim to follow that religion, and that's true.
Amen.
You know, when you look at the statistics, and we appreciate you calling in, Tim. We hate to cut you off, but we're going to have to wind the program down because we're out of time. So, but we really do appreciate you calling in. You know, David, as we wind things up a little bit, you know, there's no way we can get to everything we want to talk about tonight. But I think that it all boils down to, is Islam a religion of peace or a religion of war? Well, there's two ways you can look at that. You can look at history and what's going on in our present world and what has gone on for the last 2,000 years. It's always been associated with war and fighting.
And violence.
And violence. Peace has never been associated with Islam. When you come to America and you have some Americans who perhaps have been converted to Islam, I think that they may have a misconception that Islam is a religion of peace. But you don't have to go any further than the Quran and its history to see that that is indeed not the truth. I think there are a lot of people who are sincere, but they are sincerely wrong in their Islamic beliefs.
I agree. Christianity is a religion of peace. Jesus could have called 10,000 angels to take him off that cross before he ever got there, and he didn't do it. He went ahead and suffered and died so that we might have an avenue of salvation through Jesus Christ and in obedience to his word. Got a few minutes here. Going to give you our additional sponsors: the Bangs Church of Christ in Bangs, Texas; the De Leon Church of Christ in De Leon; the Patrick Street Church of Christ in Dublin, Texas; the Rising Star Church of Christ in Rising Star, Texas; the Mount Vernon Church of Christ in Mount Vernon; and also the Ninth and Main Church of Christ in San Angelo; the Windmill Church of Christ at Tin Top Road in Weatherford, Texas; and the Santo Church of Christ in Santo, Texas. We are just about out of time. Tom, you got the last word. May God bless you all as you read his Bible and obey his word.
It's been a great delight to have you in our audience tonight, and we want to encourage you to keep listening, to keep calling in, to check us out on the webpage, to check us out on Facebook and Twitter, and we're just delighted that you have been with us tonight. We encourage you to listen in every Monday right here on this channel, 6 p.m. God bless you as you are involved in doing his will. We'll see you next week.
Praise thy faithfulness, O God, my Father.
Thank you for tuning in to the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible. This is a live call-in talk show discussing the important topics and current events threatening our Christian faith. Please join us every Monday night from 6 to 7 p.m. and call in with any questions or comments at 855-QA-BIBLE. That's 855-QA-BIBLE, or email your questions and comments to questions@harrisonmoore.org. Our motto is, you've heard what men have to say, now listen to what the Bible has to say. Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible, every Monday night from 6 to 7 on this radio station.